T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Show and Vern. Someone stepped up? Brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at kclend.com.
Yeah, that's good to hear, Tiger. We'll pick up, hopefully pick up some birdies coming up. I just also wanted to let you know, fellas, I did find the deodorant yesterday. They had put it inside one of my travel bags and zipped it up.
Nobody remembers the story, Ron. So you owe them a tip now.
I don't owe them.
Ron yesterday on the radio tried to blame his the cleaning company that cleans his house for losing his deodorant.
They did. They hid it in a place that I couldn't find it.
Like a lot of people in my life. He just didn't look for it and decided to blame other people. My fiance does that a lot.
It's early in the morning. You want me to go unzipping? I looked all around the area. I didn't think they were going to zip it up in the travel
just
bag.
Just look. Stop blaming people.
Shut up. It's a beautiful Thursday. We only have 1 hour. Don't argue with me today. You know what time it is. Hey! Show
good morning. This from the Twitter account of former Chiefs offensive lineman Jeff Schwartz, now a host at Sirius XM Radio. Frank Clark is legit and a big upgrade over D Ford. He is going to have a monster year in Kansas City.
You know what? I feel like I understand the reason here in Kansas City that he hasn't been a focal point and that we haven't talked about, but I do find it interesting in this offseason. This lets you know how wild it is that this offseason has been, and it's not just Pat, that a brand new, highest paid player on the team, third highest defensive paid player in football, replacing a guy who was your best player on defense last year, who led the league in forced fumbles, who led the league in quarterback pressures, and was second in the league in quarterback hits. It lets you know how crazy the offseason is that we don't talk about that player a ton. Because Frank Clark is a... We talked about if things... That's what Carrington said the other day. If things go wrong, I remember you, Vern. Frank Clark was one of the first things that came to your head. If Frank Clark has a bad season, if things go wrong, something's going wrong, if the Chiefs are not winning the division or winning the AFC or having the number one or two seed. But I don't think we've talked about Frank a lot. And I think most people have positive thoughts about Frank. And I understand that. Fans do that. But there are some fans who think it another way. And is there any concern for you with Frank? The one major concern that I have, Vern, with Frank Clark is there is a bit of concern of him moving from that system and, more importantly, that culture with the players that played around him. Those advantages that he had in Seattle, and you could argue that, I mean, Belichick, but Seattle, one, put together one of the best defenses we've ever seen in that 2-3 year stretch, and their culture and their defense has been probably top of the league. They have great coaching. Pete Carroll, Chris Richard was there. Ken Norton Jr. is there now. They've had great defensive coaches and staffs, great players around him. Is there a concern, and there is one for me, how he adjusts coming over from that system? Because I think
you think he's a product of the system more so than a guy that warrants the contract that the Chiefs gave him? No, I have no concerns with Frank Clark. Brett Veach can have concerns. Andy Reid and Steve Spagnuolo can have concerns. But what I've been told by them and others is this guy is a clear upgrade over D Ford. So that's what I'm expecting. And that's what I believe I will see.
Oh, I think that's what everyone is expecting. But We've seen this before because no one believes that this guy, and Frank Clark has been very consistent and good. And I said, overall, as a player, I have said, I think he is, when you incorporate the run and everything, that he is a better player overall than D. Ford. But we don't think he's Khalil Mack. And when Khalil Mack went to the Bears, nobody thought, oh, system change. Oh, because he's just maybe one of the best we've ever seen. I mean, this is a guy who was first-team all-defense, outside linebacker, and defensive end in the same season. This dude, him, Aaron Donald, they're in another planet.
Well, then that's all people want to see. That's all I want to see. That's all Chiefs fans want to see, is someone better than D. Ford. Someone impact the game more so than D. Ford and have a defense ranked higher than 31st. I don't think there's a need for concern but with Frank Clark.
Okay, for you there isn't. For me, I do want to sit back and see, all right, man.
Yeah, but how much of this is a byproduct of it's been a long time and we need football to return? That it's taken a week before training camp has started to stumble upon a concern with Frank Clark. How legit is the downside of this concern? Unless you truly believe that he is a byproduct of the system, but you don't because you just acknowledge that he's better than D. Ford, what's the bad look for Frank Clark? The bad look for Frank Clark is him not performing as well as D. Ford did. That to me is the bottom line. It's very easy from this season for Frank.
From what we've seen from Frank, he's been an overall better player than D. Ford. But I also don't want to take out account that he wasn't playing in maybe the best defensive system and culture that we have had in the league in the last 5 to 7 years, and playing with guys like Jaren Reed on the inside with them, Cliff Avril in years past, Michael Bennett in years past, KJ Wright, the other linebacker that they've had
Bobby
over
Wagner.
There, Bobby Wagner and Earl Thomas and Richard Sherman. And like, this was a system, a culture of defense that is maybe unmatched in the league, say the Ravens or even New England. We've seen it. I remember when Neil Smith left a great defensive organization and culture in Kansas City. He didn't fall off the bat, but he wasn't as good as he was here when he was in Denver. Albert Haynesworth left Tennessee and fell off when he went to Washington. We've seen this
occur. I think that was more about Albert Haynesworth than it was the scheme that he was in.
Okay, but I'm just saying, we saw a difference. Him coming from Jeff Fisher in a really, really, really well-run defense, and then he came up. There's been examples of this. Like Jamie Collins leaving New England and going to Cleveland, and then there's a change in his play because he's leaving that type of system. So I do think that is a legit thing to look
at. But Bob Sutton's not here. We believe in the coaching staff. Again, maybe this is just I choose to be optimistic about the defense. I choose to believe that Tyrann Mathieu will be that leader of the defense and that ball hawk in the secondary. I believe that Frank Clark can match, if not improve, on what D. Ford did last season. Yes, last year's defense was bad. This year's defense likely won't be great, but I don't think that we're going to see, if we end up regretting the contract, I don't think foresight on our behalf is going to be to blame. I didn't hear anyone and still haven't heard anyone say, awful deal, Frank Clark's not that good of a player. People that know a lot more about football than you and I, over and over and over again, Frank Clark is a better all-around football player than D. Ford. So now it's on Frank Clark to go out there and do that. If he doesn't, I don't know if it's going to be anyone other than his fault, maybe getting fat and happy with the money. I think it's just going to be a reflection of him. Again, him, Spags, and Tyrann Mathieu, those are the three guys that have real pressure on them on the defensive side of things. They need to do their jobs. It's a very bottom-line business for those three. It's a very bottom-line season for the Kansas City Chiefs.
True. One thing, though, we all know about sports in any sport, and football, I think, is prevalent more than any, is when you're playing in a certain culture, under better coaching, under schemes that fit you, and that's all you've seen your whole life, your whole football life, that can be a huge thing. And we've seen players look one way in one system, in one scheme, under one coach, and look another in another way.
In the next 10 minutes, we'll give you a chance to win a four-pack of tickets to Rivalry Renewed July 28th at Silverstein Ice Center's Arena. KU alums taking on MU alums. Ron, I tweeted this out about a half hour ago, and it's a numbers comparison. I'm going to get nerdy with you real quick. But Whit Merrifield last night, on base five times, 3 for 3. The guy did absolutely everything once again, continues to be motivated by these very calculated slights that I've put out there on a daily basis. But I got to be real now. I just got to give him credit. I looked at the best seasons that Lorenzo Cain had while in Kansas City. I would say 2014 until his final season. He was the best player on the team. I used to call him the straw that stirred the drink for the Royals. When I look at those numbers, Whit Merrifield, what he's done through 3.5 seasons is better than what Lorenzo Cain did for those 4 full seasons. In an extra 70 at-bats, 2,000 at-bats, Lorenzo Cain didn't have as many stolen bases as Whit Merrifield already has and did not have the offensive numbers that Whit Merrifield has. Whit right now with an 801 OPS, Lorenzo Cain 789. 114 OPS plus for Whit Merrifield, 113 for Lorenzo Cain. Going into this, I thought Lorenzo Cain is the best player we've seen in Kansas City since Carlos Beltran left. Ron, the numbers tell you Whit Merrifield is better than Lorenzo Cain. Whit Merrifield is the best Royals player since Carlos Beltran went to the Astros. It doesn't sound right. Look, thinking about it driving in, impressed with what I've seen, the consistency of Whit Merrifield, I wanted to put it into context, and I came away shocked. When you go age 27 through age 30 seasons, a real fair comparison between the two, oh, it's not even close. Whit Merrifield is a far better player.
There are some injuries and stuff with Lorenzo, and he missed games, but that's a part of it.
Right, that's a part of it. Whit has been there. Whit hasn't been on the IL, as far as I can remember. Lorenzo Cain in 2013 made a trip to the disabled list at that time. But when you look at them same age or just their best 4 seasons, Whit Merrifield is the better hitter, more of a tyrant on the base paths. Lorenzo Cain is the better defender, no question. But the versatility of Whit Merrifield makes even that a conversation. It might be tough to digest, but the case can easily be made that Whit Merrifield's the best player that we've seen in 16 years in Kansas City.
Let me, if this will make sense, because on paper, due to injuries and just a little bit more consistency in the regular season, I guess the numbers there aren't quite surprising. But I just feel like with the eye test, if I were to watch the two of them, Lorenzo Cain, to me, eye test-wise, shows that he's a better player, even if the numbers. Like Emmitt Smith has the best numbers a running back has in terms of rushing yards. But right now, I have the eye test. I would take Marshall Faulk and Le'Veon Bell in their primes over Emmitt Smith, just with the eye test. Now, their numbers, if you put it down, championships, rushing yards would not.
Well, rushing yards, yeah, but would total not yards, up. I think Marshall Faulk would have that edge. I think receiving-wise, Marshall Faulk
receives
has
a better I don't think total yards.
Okay,
but
receiving yards, Marshall has more. Le'Veon probably has more on average if you're looking at a – like I was with Cain and Merrifield, when you break it down and making it even, not 17 years for Emmitt Smith and 5 years for Le'Veon Bell. Yeah, I understand your point about the eye test.
But I'm just saying, if you put those three down on paper, and Marshall's a Hall of Famer as well, which is maybe a little different. You put those three guys down on paper, Emmitt Smith's numbers are going to pop out in terms of championships. Every yards are going to pop out. But just the eye test-wise with it, just like with what you're saying, which numbers pop out?
Well, I think
on
you're
there.
Getting eye test confused with, like, aesthetically pleasing. Lorenzo Cain made everything look easy. He made the spacious Kauffman Stadium look small. He went first to third, and it looked like he was jogging. Whit Merrifield looks like he's giving everything he has in every at-bat. Lorenzo Cain is a lot more fluid on the diamond, a lot less mechanical on the diamond than Whit Merrifield. So I'm with you. Aesthetically, yes, Lorenzo Cain passes the eye test. But watching them day in and day out, I don't think the eye test says this guy is better. Look, they're
I disagree. It's for me. It's
well,
not.
Then
it's,
what is it? What about not, the eye test? What did aesthetics. Lorenzo Cain do that eye test? You got to see it to understand.
To me, I would if like things I'll base it on. One like clutch moments. If I needed a clutch moment between the two of them, if I needed somebody to come up with a two out hit, from what I have watched, I would feel much more confident with Lorenzo. Not even his defense to me is far and away better than any position that Witt plays. So that part's not even close. But I just in big moments, and I know Witt is it's a little unfair with Witt because he hasn't had as many big moments.
Right.
But in big moments, like I just trust Lorenzo more. And like power wise, even though Witt's numbers may be more in power, if I felt like I needed a home run between the two of them, I feel like I would lean towards Lorenzo with power. I don't know. I mean, I just think visually watching them, and not just because he made things look cool, because he did, but I think just watching them, Lorenzo just feels like the better player, even though his numbers may not be as good.
Protein House, Eat With A Purpose, text line 69306. Let's give away the four-pack right now. Fogs boys, the KU alums will take on Black and Gold, the MU alums, coming up on Sunday, July 28th at Silverstein Eye Centers Arena. If you love the rivalry, you will love this event. You get a chance to go on the court, take pictures with the Rush brothers and Mario Chalmers, Drew Gooden, to name a few. The night before, you can rub elbows with those guys at the VIP player party. That's Saturday night, July 27th at Repeal 18th from 6 until 10. The VIP ticket package includes your choice of, well, tickets to the game, appetizers, four drink tickets, a Rivalry Renewed t-shirt, player meet and greets, and a roundtable discussion, plus a chance to take part in a pregame shoot-around with the players on the court. Now, you can find a link to get the tickets to the game and tickets to the VIP party. Just go to 610sports.com. You'll find all the information there. And a portion of the proceeds benefit the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Kansas City. That's July 28th. We'll give a four-pack of them away right now. Caller number 10, 913-576-7610. Caller number 10, 913-576-7610. We saw on Twitter yesterday that, well, we mentioned it yesterday, right? The picture, the vacation that Pat is on right now with his girlfriend and the Travis Kelce and his girlfriend, Gary Dieter and his wife, DeMarcus Robinson and his wife or girlfriend, and who else is there? Chris Conley. Chris Conley's there with his wife or girlfriend. We're seeing Kelce running routes on the beach. We're seeing them have a good time on the boat together. Look, Patrick Mahomes is always the star of any group that he's with. I wonder if he's such a big star. I wonder if the gravitational pull of Patrick Mahomes is so strong that during this vacation, do you guys believe that Chris Conley, at any point, for however long, 30 seconds, 5 minutes, do you think Pat is so great that Chris Conley during this vacation has thought, man, I made a mistake. Man, I shouldn't have taken the money. I should have taken less to stay in Kansas City. Because he shouldn't. You always follow the money. But we know that voice and that look and that arm and those muscles and that hair, everything about Patrick Mahomes, does it ever trick Chris Conley into thinking I made a big-ass mistake coming to Jacksonville?
No, I don't think so. With his age, there's a couple things. One, Chris Conley is a really, really smart guy. And when I say really, really smart guy and what why that means, like you would think like, oh, man, I got a chance. This is what other people will probably text in. He had a chance. He has a chance to win a Super Bowl. Right. He has a chance to win a Super Bowl.
Right.
But if you look at Chris Conley, a couple of things. Players love to play and want to play, especially at that age. They don't want to sit. They want to prove what they could do so they can try to make more money. Because what it's about is making money. What it's about is getting cash and cashing in, and how you cash in is getting on the field. And where he was, they didn't see him anymore as a person that was going to step up. They went and got Sammy Watkins to replace him. I think they were going to draft another receiver anyway. DeMarcus Robinson may have been moving up past him. He could see the writing on the wall that his opportunities to play were going to be falling less and less. So now he has a chance to play, and he's making more money, and he got more money than he got with the Chiefs. So he's making his money, and now he's going to get a bigger chance to play with Jacksonville. No, I don't think he thinks – I don't think he thinks about that in that way because, you know, even if the Chiefs were to win the Super Bowl or go to the Super Bowl financially, that's not really going to help him as much or even legacy-wise because he wouldn't be playing.
I mean, it could. You can then just live off of being a Super Bowl champion in Kansas City, sign autographs for the rest of your life. I mean, they'll take care of you if you bring a title to Kansas City, even if you're the fourth wide receiver. Man, you got to trust me on that one. Don Beebe's still a thing in Wisconsin. In Wisconsin, because he won a title with the Green Bay Packers. I think of Don Beebe as the guy that had Leon Lett knock the ball out of his hand, and yet Don Beebe's still revered.
He knocked the ball out of Leon Lett's hand.
That's right. He's still revered in Wisconsin.
Didn't he have a moment in the Super Bowl? Did he have a?
I have no idea. I mean, Desmond Howard had a couple of moments. The Michigan man really showed out for that Packers 1996 Super Bowl. What it reminds me of, and I disagree. I do think that Chris Conley, for a brief moment, regretted taking the money in Jacksonville. It reminds me of maybe when you come home after your or during your freshman year of college. All your buddies are going to one college, and you're going to a separate one. You have that FOMO. You have FOMO very often. The fear of missing out. I feel like Chris Conley knew these guys are having so much more fun than I'm going to have with Nick Foles and Leonard Fournette in Jacksonville.
Yeah, but fun and not being a part of the offense and not getting as much playing time is not as much fun as him having a chance to play. He's making more money than he would have gotten in Kansas City. He's going to get more playing time and have a real chance to make a difference
on the
team. Well,
then this is the first time we've seen Pat not overpower everything else.
Well, I don't think it was really up to Chris Conley. Like, I don't think they were interested in bringing him back, even if it was for a minimum deal. Like, I think it was just they parted ways on good terms. Have a nice life, Chris Conley. Go make some money if you can.
Congratulations to Chris in Fairway. You won the 4-pack of tickets to Rivalry Renewed.
Yeah. More money, more time. Yeah, he's good. Newsflash.
Serta's Newsflash.
The Denver Broncos avoided a major distraction Wednesday when quarterback Drew Locke signed his rookie deal less than 24 hours before the deadline to participate in training camp. Locke, a 2019 second-round draft choice, was the last unsigned player from Denver's rookie class. He was trying to hold out because he didn't like one of the clauses in there. He thought, you know, he's a quarterback. He should get a better deal on his workout bonuses. He gave in. I think that's a sign of a weak quarterback.
I love how you could tell when he stopped reading the story and then just started infiltrating the airwaves with his own ridiculous opinion. First of all, Drew Lock should have never been the last one to sign. You're a second-round quarterback. You need to buy in early. You need to let everyone know that I can be a leader of this organization.
Well, it's slotted. Like, they're slotted. He was trying to change the system because he was a quarterback. Like, there's never been a second-round quarterback before. Yeah. All right, remember, we are down.
So you guys agree, he's not going to be good.
I didn't say he's not going to be good.
I don't really have high hopes.
I don't think he's going to be a great quarterback. But it's not because he held out.
We're all rooting for him, but
I didn't say.
I don't think he's going to be good. Because
you're not rooting for him?
No, I'm not.
Why? He's a local kid.
I don't. He's playing for Denver.
Who cares?
He went to Missouri.
You got Mahomes. You don't need to worry about him.
I mean, there's no. What is it
That's
about
bogus.
Him? Lee Summitt was a rival.
Oh, stop. He wasn't Missouri. Your rival. You won a state title.
Lee
Move
Summitt's
on.
Always a rival. They were a rival.
And Drew, I'm pulling for you, bud. Good God.
Missouri's a rival. Denver's. What the hell would I root for him?
Why wouldn't you? Because you're an adult now.
I just explained to you reasons why I wouldn't
root for
him. Oh,
they're stupid reasons.
No, they're stupid reasons to you. No, I don't want to go to break.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at kclend.com.
I don't want your pity.
All right, welcome back. You'll take whatever I give you. Welcome back, Show and Vern. We are here just for 1 hour. This is the final segment of the day. As the Royals look to complete the sweep against the Chicago White Sox, Cody Tapp, Cody's On Deck show coming up directly behind us. So make sure you are listening for that. Your chance to win an MVP golf card before we get out of here in about 10 or 15 minutes or so. All right. So I think many national people, Vern, have, I don't know about confusion, but just don't know the ins and outs of the Tyreek Hill case the way that we do here. And that when I say we, us in Kansas City listeners, us, we talk about this. We've gone over this thing. Like, they don't know as much. And sometimes when they speak and when they talk about the situation, you can tell that is the case. But I think I do need to let Kansas City in a bit of a secret. I think there's a secret that maybe you all need to know about this Tyreek Hill case. And that is, nobody else is retrying this 2014 case. Especially the important people here. I feel like a lot of people, and I've heard this, the thought is things that may be helpful to him is the 2014 case. They're not retrying that, but people aren't retrying the 2014 case as it is here. Like they're using what happened in his history potentially to think about maybe whatever the punishment is, but they're not retrying the case. All right. And it does feel like we talked about this here, Vern, that it feels like we are retrying the case or coming up with a different thing, or we're so focused upon what happened in 2014. It's only happening that place here.
Right, Kansas City, we're really diving into 2014. Yeah, Los Angeles, New York, Miami, Seattle, 2014. That's when Tyreek Hill pleaded guilty to putting his hands on his pregnant girlfriend at the time. And to be honest with you, most people in Los Angeles, New York, Seattle, and Miami didn't listen to the whole 11 minutes and 20 seconds. A lot of those people are like Jason Whitlock and what he told us last week. He never even heard the KCTV5 audio that they put out during the NFL draft. Again, first impressions, right? We all know the importance of first impressions. And for 95% of NFL fans, the first impression of Tyreek Hill was that he put his hands on his pregnant girlfriend. Now, I understand a lot of you listening are questioning what really happened in 2014. But outside of Kansas City, they're not. Also, those people that are not in Kansas City, those 95% of people that their first impression of Tyreek Hill was that he put his hands on his pregnant girlfriend. Those people are NFL fans. They buy tickets. They buy sports packages. They buy jerseys. Those are the people that Roger Goodell will ultimately suspend Tyreek Hill for. He's not doing it to teach Tyreek Hill a lesson. No. Roger Goodell, when and if he suspends Tyreek Hill, he'll be suspending him to appease sponsors and to appease fans. It's going to anger Chiefs fans, but the other 31 fan bases in the NFL will likely applaud whatever decision Roger makes.
And you're bringing up Roger. Vern, I don't even know that I'm for sure to a point that I know they're not. They're not retrying what happened in 14. Like, they're not all of a sudden retrying the case. Oh, he pled guilty to this. Let's go back in and reach and see what all happened in 14 to try to make. They're not retrying because the law didn't change. What he did plead guilty to, he did plead guilty to. Like that's still going to be there. right? And like I said, it's not even like you said, L.A., Miami, New York, Chicago, man. The people who are making decisions upon his future in terms of when he, how many games he'll get suspended, if he does or not, I don't believe what happened in 2014 in terms of, oh, that recording we heard is going to change things.
Yesterday on The Drive, they spoke with Sports Illustrated's legal analyst, Michael McCann. He was asked what he thinks will happen suspension-wise.
I would imagine, I'm just guessing, you know, maybe four games would be an amount that would reflect the overall role of parenting. I don't think Goodell can say he'll injure his son because there's a conflicting track record there. He could say that the recording where he talks about you should be terrified of me is damaging to the league, particularly given his history with her, and maybe some overall concerns about parenting that have contributed to this controversy. So he could avoid punishing him specifically for injuries to the son, given that I don't think we can say he did it, but he could still punish him for overall parenting and a threatening comment. Again, that's just how I could be way off for all I know.
Really good conversation yesterday. Check it out, radio.com app. Seek out The Drive. Also, 610sports.com. Go to the on-demand page and check out the interview, The Drive, with Michael McCann of Sports Illustrated yesterday. Coming up in the next 10 minutes, your chance to win a KC MVP golf card.
So the big news coming out of yesterday, we finally found out the severity of the injury with Mondesi. We had gotten Cody on. He had later, it had later been announced later that he will miss some time. Don't know if surgery is going to be a part of it, but he will miss some time. And the thing that came to my mind about this, and it is not that there is a curse that I own, and that is not what came to mind. The thing that came to mind to me is there's a skill, I believe. I don't think it is just luck. Some of it is luck. A lot of things in sports is luck. But I think it is a skill to being able to do what Alcides Escobar was able to do year in and year out at that same position that Mondesi is. I think there is a skill of taking care of your body and being able to play games and not get hurt as often. Because Mondesi, this has been an issue. I remember what you said prior to him getting hurt the other day was the real key is, can Mondesi stay on the field through the second half? Because staying on the field has been a problem for him. And I don't think we look at that as a skill. I don't think we look at that, the training of how to keep your body and protect yourself from being able to get to stay away from injuries. We see it a lot. We see it with guys like LeBron. Before last year, LeBron rarely got hurt. When you look at guys in the league, Kevin Durant's gone down several times as he is right now.
We just talked about Whit Merrifield.
But it's not a coincidence that guys like him don't get hurt all the time. Or Russell in his 11 years. Westbrook hasn't gotten injured a lot. Russell Wilson, somebody who hasn't gotten injured a lot. I think one of the most recent things that we have learned in sport as a skill now is motor. Like, I don't think people, when Dennis Rodman was playing back in the day and understood, like, that is a skill, how he always has motor. We see it with Draymond now. We see it with some football players who are always going. That's a skill to me, and I think we are starting to understand that more. I think this is a skill also, being able to take care of your body and being able to keep yourself in a place where you protect yourself to play every day the way that Alcides Escobar was able to do. I think that's a skill. I don't think that's just all luck.
Oh, I agree. I don't think there's any question, and that's one of the reasons why I was so encouraged to hear the kind of commitment that Patrick Mahomes was making this offseason to getting his body fat down. It's something that's not necessary. The guy throws for 5,050 touchdowns, and yet he recommits himself in the offseason, commits to his body. That's normally something that comes with age, right? Tom Brady didn't do that early on. It took a while before Tom Brady understood that every single day, every single meal. Royals fans, you hear HUD talk about this a lot on television. Yeah, everything that you put in your body, it is a sports car. right? You have to give it the best kind of fuel, and you have to take care of it in between trips. Adalberto Mondesi, and Cody has talked about this in the past, up until last year, he thought it was a sign of weakness to be seen in the training room, where if you're not in the training room, everyone knows something is aching. It's not respected that you're grinding through it. It's you not taking care of your sports car. It's you not putting the best fuel and taking care of it in the proper fashion that a professional should. Your body is your business. Adalberto Mondesi hasn't always taken care of that sports car. He says that he has, starting last season, and this injury that happened, that was just fluky. You can't avoid your shoulder popping out and then popping back in, right? That's just like Mike Moustakas busting up his ACL. That's just unfortunate. That is tough luck. But your overall premise is 100% right. Eske got lucky a few times, but Eske never took days off in the off season. He was in the gym, working out, eating right. And that's a key that most guys don't get until they're adults, just like any of us. When we were young, you used to eat like a pig, and then you start to realize, all right, man, I got to start taking care of myself, and you begin to eat right. We may never see someone do what Alcides Escobar did as far as the consecutive games that he was able to put together in a Royals uniform, but there is a difference not only taking care of yourself properly, but there's also a difference of being able to persevere through aches and pains and nagging problems.
But
right?
Knowing
the difference between being injured and hurt, that's something as
that's
well.
A part of it too. And I think a piece where I do disagree just a bit is, I think when you're keeping your body in prime position and your body is working the way that it should be, and you're really maintaining that and focusing on that, like LeBron spends almost $2 million on his body a year, I think you do avoid having some injuries to be worse or getting to a
no
place.
Question.
Like his groin pull, a lot of people said they thought that would have been 10 times worse if his body wasn't in the shape and the
Gordo.
Way that it was.
Same thing with Gordo when he bust up his hip.
Yes.
It should
yes.
have kept him out longer, but because he's a freak, he was able to come back from it quicker.
I know I used to do it. I used to always look. I used to look at, and I feel really stupid now, I used to look at Cal Ripken Jr. and be like, all right, guys, man, we're touting this cat so much because he plays every day. No, man, to me, just like running, catching the ball, working on defense, that is a skill, and we need to treat it as such.
Royals again coming up at the top of the hour. Cody Tapp live from the 610 Mobile Studio, Gate A in left field. Give you a chance to win Royals tickets coming up in about a half hour. So if you're heading to the ballpark, head out to the trailer right now and you could win those Royals tickets and a game-used baseball from last night's Royals victory. Right now you can win a KC MVP golf card. Caller number 12 to 913-576-7610. Caller number 12, you win a KC MVP golf card. And if you don't end up winning, you can purchase one online at MVPGolfKC.com. $340 worth of golf for just $99. Heart of America, two rounds at that golf course. Two rounds at Swope Memorial, at Minor Park, at Sycamore Ridge, and at Adams Point. Go to MVPGolfKC.com right now to purchase yours, or, again, be caller number 12, 913-576-7610.
Serta, I hope you're all right if I read this text message that you sent last night, because I just feel like we have to address it. My response was,
that's fine. Let's put it out there. Let's do it.
Would you calm down? Just
why are
second?
You in this place?
Yeah,
man,
how did you get
it's a
fired?
Short show. You should be in a
yeah,
good mood.
Good hell, man. This is from Serta last night. Have you ever been on a date and the girl just started helping herself to what's on your plate, like without saying a word? And Vern entertained it, and I just didn't. And then it then
because I've never had it.
And then Serta just went on and went off about this. Oh yes, I hate that. I've almost lost it. You know, Serta gets. I almost lost it on someone, man.
But you can understand.
I just have.
I mean, the way you're presenting it, you're making it seem like he's ridiculous. If you're on a date with someone, like a first date, and you have your plate of food and she has her plate of food, and without asking, she reaches her dirty hands over and starts grabbing stuff off your plate on a first date, that's messed up.
But when we went into it, it wasn't about just a first date. He said this has happened to someone he's dated. And so then my question...
It was unbelievable.
How long would you say you've been dating the person?
I was seeing somebody for a few months. It wasn't very long. It wasn't like a long-term relationship or anything. Just
a few months that have done it. And,
you know, maybe by the second date, it happened.
Okay, that's not what you said last night. You didn't say, so the second date, all right, that's a bit different. My question is, were you all trading things? Were you getting things off of her plate?
No, so see, I also don't like that. I also don't like when people say, oh, what you got looks really good. And I'm like, yeah, yours looks good too. Do you want to try it or do you want to split it? No, if I wanted that, I would have ordered it.
Just say no. I don't know why you, but I don't know why you...
But because people, that's code for yours looks better than mine. Right. I want some of yours.
Right.
And you should have ordered it.
Hey, before this conversation goes any further, Ron, I need to address you real quick. Cert is in a different space. He's in a different time in his life. He's not looking for what you've already found and what I've found. So I don't think we can attack him because he's not the kind of gentleman that's willing to sacrifice right now for a young lady.
I don't think I'm attacking him. I just had some questions. I just wanted to.
Okay.
Was this a switcheroo thing?
No. I think it started with like sharing an appetizer, which is one thing. You get appetizers to share them, but then it was, oh, that looks good. Try it. Like fork, plate, my food, mouth. And then...
Sounds like you're still upset about
this. But then it happened like a couple of more times, and I kind of let it slide.
Yeah, but that's your fault.
Because, you know, well, I mean, I don't want to cause a scene over it.
You don't have...
But then we happen to be out. We happen to be out for breakfast. We happen to be out for breakfast one morning. I get my breakfast finally, and, you know, I got this big breakfast platter with biscuits and gravy and hash browns and everything.
Yeah.
She had something else, and just... As soon as my plate hit the table, oh, those biscuits and gravy look fantastic. Fork, dig it all in my biscuits and gravy. And I got frustrated. I was a little hungover. And I was just like, oh, yeah, help yourself.
You yelled
just
better.
Help yourself.
You yelled better. Here's
Ron's got a bunch of really good
Here's
points.
A couple of things.
Go ahead, Ron.
First off, apparently to her, she was in a different relationship than you were in. That's starters. For two... I don't understand, and guys get like this sometimes. I don't understand why you feel you got to cause a scene. I don't understand why you don't just, and this may be helpful to you, just open up your mouth like a person and just say what things I don't like. Yeah. Hey, Celeste, I don't like it when you grab onto my food. Especially before
her name was Celeste.
I'm just making up a name.
Oh, that's going to be moving forward. That's going to be a part of my introductory press conference.
But you don't. But you don't have to. But you don't have to be an a-hole about it. You don't have to yell at her about it. You just say it at first. But see, you set
easy
the precedent. You said after a couple more times she did it. You let her do it the first time.
Yeah,
and the second time.
I tried to leave like subtle hints, like. I don't really dig that. I don't really like that.
No, but when you say like that, your subtle, I know your stupid subtle hints. Easy. Your subtle hints could have been you just saying that in your own head and not even saying it out loud, sir.
Mind your 79.
Just tell him. Just tell her. Hey, I don't like it when you eat off my plate.
It was just unbelievable. I was shocked about it at first. I had never seen anybody do that. Like the arrogance.
But again, Ron, like I was saying, no, that point, I hope men and women listening really understood what Ron was saying, because I had to learn that. I had to learn that in my own life. Hey, instead of bottling it up, just say it, and then
it bothers you.
You won't have to deal with it moving forward. Treat her like a person, and she'll treat you like a person.
And it bothers you to a point where you're going to lose it like this.
But what that's reflective of a man in a good relationship, because a good relationship's core is communication.
I don't agree with that.
Communication to me is key, and that's what you're talking about. Communicate. Serta, who is not in a relationship, doesn't want to be in one because he doesn't want to communicate.
But that doesn't just stem towards relationships, though. I mean, towards like companionship like that. That's just any relationship.
Right.
With you.
Right.
We've
communicate.
Done this.
Right.
We've done this. So I don't think it just, I don't think it has to do with age or the fact that we've been, he's been in relationships
before.
Yes, and
he has a bad relationship with us because he doesn't communicate.
I've never seen anything like it.
Like right now, I don't like it in our pre-show meetings when you're just looking at your computer screen and you're not looking at anything, focusing on what we do in the show.
Have you seen the new Twitter layout?
And I've expressed that to you. Now you continue to do it, and I don't feel bad when I cuss you out for it.
Go back to using Facebook.
And people texting in,
the money shot.
Damn it.
Let's finish with the bang. The money shot brought to you by Broadway Deli.
I'm not changed.
A mostly Jewish deli for a mostly not Jewish city. It's open in the Crossroads. And it is the official deli of 610 Sports Radio. Show, finish them off.
Listener 800-8135. You always share food on a date and guarantees you get laid if you share food. Those are not true statements.
Yeah, no.
Okay, that's just silliness. All right.
The hell's your money shot? Let's go.
I'm sorry. All right. You're right. All right. KU's Bill Self has been named Kansan of the Year by the Kansas Society.
Way to go, Bill.
In Washington, D.C.
Congratulations, Coach.
I looked deeper into it. Was it because he did a lot of charitable work? I'm sure he did some charitable work or some things. No, it was just about his record and time at Kansas. And to me, first off, there are other candidates. Sharice Davis, the first Democrat elected into the House in Kansas in a decade, not to mention she is a gay Native American woman.
And the year that the streak ends?
And the year the streak ends, he's worst year coaching. Bruce Weber, in my opinion, should have probably won it before him. Way other.
Wow, coming from you, that's a lot because you don't have Bruce Weber.
Show and Burn, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at kclend.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.